Bible. So let's go to Isaiah 8, if we could, this evening, and continue walking through this amazing book. And we saw a glimpse of this last week as we looked at the first part of the chapter, but beginning in verse 20 of Isaiah 8, the Bible says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." So there is no light in them. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our lives this evening. Thank you for it and the privilege to open it. And we believe in its power and ask you to use it now for each of us. And that, Lord, we will come expecting to hear from you and willing to respond as the Holy Spirit does a work in our hearts. And we love you. We commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we see another condemnation from the Lord upon his people. And the condemnation is that there is no light in them. What a terrible thought. But without the light, we see the result, as we'll look through the passage tonight. Without the light, we see that people end up blaming God, cursing God. Without the light, people look to the wrong places for the answers, as we see there in verse 22, and have ultimately driven further into darkness. It has to start with the light. And the light comes from the Word. Notice it says there in verse 20, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this Word." So it starts with the Word. And you know, Jesus said the same thing when he talked about Lazarus and the rich man. Go over to Luke 16. I'll show you that. Then it has to start with the Word of God. The world is in darkness. The devil is the prince of darkness. And they need light. And they're going to find the light in the Word, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now this, you know this story where Lazarus and the rich man both died. Rich man went to hell, or to torments, and asked Abraham to send someone back to his brothers to tell them of the place. Verse 30, he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." He said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." So he says, if somebody would just come back from hell and say, "I was just in hell," they'll believe. He said, it's not so. They won't. That's not what's going to convince them. If they won't hear the word, if they won't hear, they have Moses and the prophets. If they won't hear the word of God, then they will not be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The light comes from the Word. Look at 2 Timothy 3, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And again, we find that the source is the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So Paul here is talking about Timothy's background, how he found Christ, how he found salvation. But look at why he found it. Because he knew the Holy Scriptures. He knew the Word of God. It's still true today. You have to be willing to accept the truth of God's Word to find the light. Jesus came into the world to give that light. And it starts there in John chapter 3, so let's go there first. where the Bible tells us that Jesus came to bring light to a dark world. And praise God, He did. We're sitting here tonight because of that. Because He gave us the light, salvation. Notice John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. So light has come into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. Why won't people accept? God tells us, men love darkness. That's why. We're sinners and we are inclined toward darkness. And we have to be willing to forsake that and say we're wrong and turn from the darkness and say, I need the light of Jesus Christ. But in general, the world is not willing to do that. Notice verse 20 of the same passage. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. So it's not just that they reject it, they actually hate it. Lest neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So we see the issue now, don't we? Why do people not want to come to light? It's not because they don't understand. It's not because of all these other reasons they come up with. It's because of sin. That's the bottom line. Because they recognize that if they come to light, light's going to shine on them and show their sinfulness. Much better to just keep away from that accountability. The next verse says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. So the light shines on us, shows us what we are, shows us that we need Christ, shows us that we're sinners. Much easier to say there is no God, or I don't want to hear it, because if I acknowledge that there's light and I'm dark, then I'm acknowledging that I'm wrong and I'm a sinner. Now I'm accountable for my sin. And so Jesus brought that light, and the world in general rejects it. And God here, in talking of His people Israel, said the same of them. There is no light in them. That's why they keep sinning. That's why they keep running from me. That's why they keep doing the wrong things. Now, if you would look at Ephesians chapter 5. And again, God gives us here the contrast between the light and the darkness in our own lives. Notice Ephesians 5, the Bible says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Before we were born again, we were darkness. Now we are light. And then God goes on to say in the next part of the verse, walk as children of light. Walk your talk, in other words. You claim to be the light. Now walk as children of light. Now look, if you would, at 1 Peter 2:9. I know a couple scriptures, but I want us just to see this contrast that God gives between the light and the darkness. 1 Peter 2:9, the Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what God did when we got saved. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise the Lord. 1 John 1:7, just one more verse. If you would turn there, 1 John 1:7. God says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We received light. Now God wants us to walk in the light. What did God say of Israel? There is no light in them. They're darkness. Before we were saved, we were darkness. The world, darkness. Isn't that why Jesus said, ye are the light of the world? And then He went on to tell the parable of the candle. Don't hide it under a bushel. Put it up on a hill so people can see it. That's us. We're that light. We're the only light. Is Christians, that the world has any hope. And so go back to our passage in Isaiah 8 where God is again condemning them and saying there is no light in them. And then he goes on to say in verse 21, and they shall pass through it, hardly beset and hungry. It shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God. When there is no light, that's what happens. When a person's in darkness, rather than we understand that trials are part of God's plan, we understand that God makes no mistakes, that God will take good care of us, the world doesn't understand any of that, and their response is to get angry, to complain. And by the way, Israel is, again, the best example of that. When God brought trials into their lives, what did they do? They complained. They got angry. And they what? They cursed God. They cursed Moses, the leadership. What's it say here? Curse their king and their God. That's exactly what they did. Let me show you an example in Numbers chapter 14. There was no light in them, and this is what the result would be. What does the world do? They get mad at God. They curse God. They get angry at God. They blame God. Why? Because there's no light in them. We have no place to do those things because we're the light of the world. Now, notice Numbers 14, verse 22. The Bible says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. God here is talking about Israel. God said they tempted him 10 times. And every time it was moaning and complaining and blaming God. There's no light in them. So what do? They curse the king and the God. And then to go on back into our passage, what is the other result? Verse 22, and they shall look unto the earth. I mean, look at where what we live in now. Let's save the whales and abort the babies. Doesn't Romans chapter 1 say that they'll love the creature more than the creator? We are there. Are we not? Mother Earth. People love nature now more than they do. They care more about nature than they do the fact that there's a God and that we've been created and that we have a purpose in life. It's what's it say? Person who lives in darkness, they look unto the earth for the answers. And behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish. This is what's going to happen. If you're going to look to the earth for your answers, you're not going to find them. You're just going to go further and further away from God. Look at an example in Isaiah 31 and verse 1. Again, an example from Israel. Isaiah 31:1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. God again condemning Israel. What was the problem? Not looking to God for their help. There's no light in them. Does the world look to God for help? Nope. They look to man, they look to self, look to their job, look to whatever, the government, but they don't look to God because there's no light in them. They look under the earth. We as Christians should never fall into this trap. We should be trusting God for everything because we have light. We have the light of life. Another example, Jeremiah 17, if you turn there again. Stemming out of God's condemnation of His people Israel. No light in them. And what did they do? They looked unto the earth for the answers. Notice Jeremiah 17 verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. No light in them. See, we should be different because we have light. The day we got saved, we were given the light of Jesus Christ. and we are to be shining that light. So we shouldn't be acting like the world. We should never be cursing or blaming or being angry at God. We should never be looking to the earth for our answers. We should always be looking to the Lord for our answers. Because the ultimate end of darkness, back in our passage in Isaiah 8, it's interesting because God says there's no light in them. And they curse their God and their king. They look under the earth, but look at the final result. And they shall be driven to darkness. Further away from God. Further away from the light. And we've all met them, haven't we? People that just keep running further and further away from God. Because they don't want the light. And Jeremiah 7 is an example, if you turn there. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 24. And this is what happens when there's no light. Jeremiah 7:24, it says, "But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." That's the way it works. The further we get from God, the further we go from God. And that's true of the world, isn't it? The more that they reject God, the faster they run from God. And they're that much harder to reach with the light. Because they just keep going further and further, as we read, driven to darkness. It should make us that much more thankful we're saved. Amen. That we found the light that day, that somebody shared the gospel with us and we believed and we were saved. But there's so many out there that need that light. And it's up to us to share it with them. Now go to Philippians chapter 2, please, and we'll see where God tells us this. Philippians chapter 2, that is our mission, is to take the light of the glorious gospel to a dark and dying world. God says, verse 15 of Philippians chapter 2, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Look what he says next. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And then look at the next verse. Holding forth what? The word of life. Right back to the word again. That's where the light comes from. The word of God. When we got saved, somebody shared the word of God with us. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have no, run in vain, neither labored in vain. So we are here to shine as lights in the world. It goes right back to what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 5. You're the light of the world. Shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Telling the people in darkness that there's an answer to their sin problem. There's an answer to their lives. And it's Jesus. He's the light. He came to bring light. And in John 8:12, that's His name. Turn over there. That's one of His titles, is He's light. John chapter 8 and verse 12. John has the long list of I ams, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am that I am." One of the I ams is John 8:12. "Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The day we got saved, we stopped walking in darkness and we got the light of life. Praise God. And now we have the great privilege of shining in a dark and dying world and sharing the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ so that they can have life too and light. Because the longer they reject it, look what happens. They curse God and their king. They look into the earth and they're driven further into darkness. So we have a tough mission ahead to find them and tell them and hope the Holy Spirit will convict their heart and they'll turn their back on the darkness and receive the light of Jesus Christ. But what a sad commentary from God Himself about His own people. There is no light in them. Let's be careful never to fall into that trap, but to walk as children of light. Let's pray. Lord, thank you.